This is Suno India production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
On Tuesday, the 25th of July, after 83 days of continuous and complete internet shutdown, the Manipur government issued a conditional order lifting the internet ban in the state. The conditional restoration of internet, however, applies only to broadband services and not to mobile internet services. The internet ban, which began on May 3rd for a period of 5 days, continued to be extended for nearly 3 months, with the government citing law and order as a primary reason for the shutdown. The order issued by the Home Department yesterday noted that the suspension of internet services is lifted conditionally in a liberalized manner. However, subject to several conditions. The list of conditions include blocking social media websites and VPNs at local level, Wi-Fi or hotspots will not be allowed from any routers and systems using an internet connection, and the login ID and password for a system will have to be changed on a daily basis. It is important to mention here that the shutdown has been partially lifted only after the ethnic violence came to national conscience again when a video showing two Kuki women stripped naked, paraded and sexually assaulted went viral on July 19, leading to a massive outrage. So what does lifting the suspension truly mean? And do internet shutdowns truly help maintain a law and order? To discuss these questions, I reached out to Radhika Jalani, a volunteer legal counsel with one of India's oldest digital rights organization, the Software Freedom Law Center, also known as SFLC India. The organization also maintains the Internet Shutdowns Tracker, one of the only real-time trackers in the world, as well as documents instances of shutdowns across the country. Radhika mainly works on issues of shutdowns, speech and internet freedoms. So what does this partial lifting of the internet shutdown, which was announced yesterday, on July 25th, actually mean to the people living in Manipur?
So we have to understand that this has been 83 days of incessant internet shutdowns, and orders have been, reviewed every 15 days per, the telecom suspension rules. And now, based on yesterday's order, it seems like there has been some conditional relief to the public, right? The order states that, the order to lift shutdowns has to be done on fulfillment of certain conditions, and there will still be a mobile internet shutdown. So we have to understand that people access internet through two ways. One is through broadband, one is through mobile internet. But according to the TRAI reports and the data that's maintained, more than 96% of India's population accesses internet using mobile internet, right? So all the you have all of these service providers, Airtel, Jio, Vodafone, and you buy internet packs and you access internet through that. So approximately 3 to 3.5% will be broadband internet users. We also really have to understand the income disparity here, right? Not everybody can afford, to sort of have broadband. There's very people, who are sort of well off, because broadband internet is, as we can see, it's a little more expensive than normal mobile internet, right? And it also means that if you work on the internet, so if you're, you have to be there. You have to be sitting in a room to be able to access broadband. So all of those UPI transactions that we see on the street, all of these things that, that we have, are used using mobile internet. If you have to use Google Maps, for example, you use mobile internet. If you have to, sort of share your live location, you use mobile internet. These things cannot be done through broadband. So the order basically just lifts shutdowns for, broadband users, right? Apart from that, there have been certain conditions also listed in the order that this physical monitoring will take place. We don't know what that means. TSPs and ISPs will be liable for certain compliance, and subscribers themselves will be punished if the terms are not complied with. It's also very interesting to see that it's an indefinite order. So there's no end date to an order, which is a big problem.
Right. What does it mean? Like, if you are not able to explain what physical monitoring means, what does this mean? Is it like almost like internet police going door to door? Like, how does that even work?
We don't know this because the only thing that the order says that there will be physical monitoring will take place. There are also other conditions that it's only going to be through a static IP address, and the subscriber shall not accept any connection other than the allowed time, right?
The order which was issued yesterday also states that mobile internet services would remain suspended because there are still apprehensions regarding the spread of disinformation and false rumors through various social media platforms, as well as regarding the sending of bulk SMS for facilitating and or mobilization of mobs of agitators and demonstrations, which can cause loss of life and or damage to the public property. Radhika says that the order is very technical and difficult to comprehend even for those who have been working in the space of digital rights.
Then there are other things like no Wi-Fi hotspot shall be allowed from any of the routers. There have to be media access control addresses, MAC bindings in the at the system level or router, with the help of TSP, ISP concern. Right? I've been doing this for a very long time and we generally, understand these terms. But I'm also having trouble understanding what all of these conditions mean. So, and that's a huge issue because, again, these orders are for the public, right? If you're writing them in terminologies, using these terms like MAC bindings, right? A common person cannot understand this. I mean, the what we're hearing from Manipur is very concerning. An 83-day long shutdown in 2023, where our entire existence is completely dependent on internet, is a very concerning, development, right? And this is an entire state that has been shut down. Previous to this, except the case of Jammu and Kashmir, the only thing that we saw for an entire state being shut down was Punjab earlier this year.
As rhetorical as it may sound, I asked Radhika the same question which I have asked in previous episodes linked to internet shutdowns.
Do you actually think these internet shutdowns, because every time an internet shutdown happens, the government gives the reason of law and order or national security as a reason. Do you actually think this really helps internet shutdowns in any way?
At the outset, I would like to say this, that there are not enough studies that are done to prove any of this, right? Internet, Web 2.0 is what, 18 years old, 18, 19 years old. This came in, mid-2000s, right? So the problem of misinformation, the problem of disinformation has already come out since Brexit, since the Cambridge Analytica, the US presidential elections. And it has taken the world by storm. So there's not enough data to prove that internet shutdowns work. There is a study which is done by this researcher called Ran Isaac. It's called misinformation and violence. It sort of says that a short-term shutdown does not, control misinformation, disinformation. Right? From what we saw, that you already are seeing that there's a lot of stuff that's coming from Manipur, right? Think of it this way. This is what, every time I try to think of this, this is the way that I put myself in. If I'm in a crowded bazaar, my internet shuts down and somebody around me starts telling me that there is a bomb. Right? There's going to be an attack. There's a bomb. As a prudent person, the first thing I would do is I would go online. I would check if it's a correct thing or not. But if my internet is not working, I will panic. Because if my internet is not working, it means that there's something really going wrong, right? So I think that rather than a blanket cutting down of internet to prevent a law and order situation, and what are we restricting law and order to? Just social media? Every order that you see these days, the only thing that they say is, we're doing this to make sure to prevent there's no hate speech and there's no, there are no videos circulating. Even for something as cheating in exams, if you see the order, it says that, if the paper is leaked, then this will lead to a law and order situation. I don't think that in 2023 we can use that as an excuse, especially because the impact of it is so huge, right? You and I probably can afford to live without internet for a day, but what about people such as the gig economy workers, people working in urban companies, people working as Ola and Uber drivers who are dependent on their daily wages, right? What do you do with that? So it's time that we start looking for other, alternatives, then internet shutdown, then also understand that if there is hate speech, then there is also counter speech. There's also media literacy initiatives. There are also fact checkers. There's also a lot of these things that we can invest in. So let's not pluck the lowest hanging fruit.
The other thing that we have seen, Radhika, is that despite this internet shutdown, I mean, the reason why Manipur has come back into limelight after 80 days was because of this viral video, a very disturbing viral video of women being assaulted, going viral, right? So despite there being a blanket social media ban, videos are still being made, videos are still being circulated. So do you actually, like you said, it's really not serving that purpose in any way. But in a way, I feel like it's also stopping people from communicating to the outside world as to the actual situation on ground. So what do you think are some of the other measures that can be taken, right, in such a scenario, whether it's like a citizen collective or a civil society? What can one do about this, about such kind of blanket internet shutdowns?
I think the thing that we at SFLC think is the way to do is do as much litigation as possible, right? Because when you challenge these shutdowns, what happens is there are a lot of procedural lacunas that are there, right? They're brought into light, right? It is only after Anuradha Bhasin judgment that we have seen some regulation around internet shutdowns. And I'm not saying that shutdowns have reduced.
To give some context to our listeners, in the Anuradha Bhasin judgment, which in itself was a mixed judgment, the Supreme Court of India ruled that an indefinite suspension of internet services would be illegal under Indian law, and that the orders for internet shutdown must satisfy the tests of necessity and proportionality. The case concerned the internet and movement restrictions imposed in the Jammu and Kashmir region in India on August 4, 2019, in the name of protecting public order. In the end, however, the court did not lift the internet restrictions and instead, it directed the government to review the shutdown orders against the tests outlined in its judgment and lift those that were not necessary or did not have a temporal limit. The court reiterated that freedom of expression online enjoyed constitutional protection but could be restricted in the name of national security. The court held that though the government was empowered to impose a complete internet shutdown, any order or orders imposing such restrictions had to be made public and were subject to judicial review.
I'm just saying that better procedures have been followed. Okay? There are, for example, there are no orders, rarely any orders you see in the public domain. They need wide publicity. If you're cutting down somebody's fundamental right, the least that they deserve to know is how, when, right? So we have to publish those orders more and more. On Manipur also, when all of this was going on, we were trying to reach out to people to understand what's happening to them, right? If it's, and you hear, every day you hear of a new story, a new impact that happens. As civil society, as people working in the sector, as, digital rights advocates, we really need to get their experiences, at the outset, we have to show that this is what happens when you cut down the internet. And these are the alternatives that you can.
Just coming back to this order that came out yesterday. So one of the things that the Manipur government has said is that, there is a requirement to fill out an undertaking assuming liability of secondary users on a network. What does that mean? And who is going to fill out this undertaking? Is it the provider who has to fill this undertaking out, or is it the user?
I think it will be the provider. I can relate this to Kashmir in 2020 when they, started doing 2G, throttling it to 2G. When they opened it up. And there were some 200, I think it started with some 200 websites getting whitelisted, right? What it reminds me of, that what happened, and this is similar as the Manipur High Court, when it's in a ruling, this is what they said, that, certain websites can be sort of whitelisted. I think it was blacklisted. Right. Yeah. So this is what happens. For example, I need to do my banking. I'm trying to access www.icici.com. Right. That is whitelisted. Right. I can access it. But the minute it takes me to another website, which is a payment page, or, a page where I want to see my mutual funds or whatever, if that's not whitelisted, I can't access it. So this idea with whitelisting and blacklisting of websites and who can do it, I think in Manipur High Court judgment, it was also something on the lines of, there'll be certain individuals who will be allowed to access websites. On what basis? How are you determining who's allowed to access websites and how who's not?
One of the things that, you know, we were, that's happened, whether it's in Kashmir or whether it's in Manipur, and like you said, Punjab, is that, you know, you have all these internet shutdowns, but the information flow is anyway going to happen, like I mentioned earlier, right? Either way, it is going to erupt eventually. And then when you have these kind of blanket bans that you can't use social media apps and everything, apart from it being like a violation of fundamental rights, how else do you make people explain that internet shutdowns are not okay? Somehow people could comprehend that lockdown, where you're physically not allowed to move out, is very difficult and it is detrimental to economy. But so is an internet shutdown, right? An internet shutdown also has those kind of economical impacts. How do you actually make the Aam Aadmi more aware that this is actually a violation of their rights?
I think we also have to understand this, that misinformation is a real problem. We've seen WhatsApp lynchings happening. We've seen riots emerging out of it, right? And there have been cases where, you know, governments can justify internet shutdowns, right? The issue is, how do we convince people that they're not okay, right? We have to... I think it's also this thing that so many of us don't even know what an internet shutdown is. Some people will think that our 4G has been cut down. On our internet shutdown tracker, there is a button where you can sort of, you know, tell us if there is an internet shutdown or share your experience. A lot of submissions that we get are also people who say that my service provider has cut down my internet. Right. So this awareness that internet shutdowns, what they are, it's a deliberate attempt, what they are for, is important to tell them how they happen. But again, the ball falls with the government, because it is government who can tell you that there's an internet shutdown happening, right? We don't have civil society does not have enough resources, right, to go on every gully, mohalla and tell people that our internet has been shut down, right? People have to record what they feel during a shutdown. I've realized that public memory is weak. What happens is that if I tell you after a week, you know, of my experience of a shutdown, that will be a watered down version. You have to talk about it then and there, you know, maybe like on your phone, record your experience. Just sort of understand how you feel about a shutdown. Understand that our economy is changing, right? Post demonetization. So many of us have completely moved to digital payments. Yeah. So many of us, especially after the pandemic, girls have started doing their education online, you know, school children. Most of us work from homes. Remote culture has become a thing. All of it because there is internet to work on. If there wasn't, telemedicine has become a thing. Most of therapy now happens online. People sort of sit, you know, telemedicine happens online, right? We also have to give them alternatives, that this is what you can do if there's no, I mean, in alternatives to shut down. But that's also not our job, right? It's finding solutions to law and order problems should not be a job for, you know, civil society activists or anyone. It's a job that has to be done by the government. For example, I keep thinking that, you know, all of these loudspeaker announcements that happens at the back of autos and rickshaws during election season, it happens a lot, which means it's a very feasible thing, right? Why not do those announcements? Rather than shutting down the internet, if you think there's something that's circulating, do an announcement. Invest more money into fact-checking, publicize those, put counter-speech out. So many of other things that can be done to prevent internet, find alternatives against shutdowns. Think of it also this way, that if we look at reports, for example, one is the Keep It On report. which tells us about the number of internet shutdowns that are happening in the across the world. What other democracy does that? Internet shutdowns don't happen in the US. During the Capitol riots, which were also a huge thing, there was no internet shutdown. Right now, France is going through tremendous protests. And there have been discussions about, you know, sort of social media filtering and social media controlling, but they still haven't imposed it. Japan doesn't do it. What country are we? I mean, we don't want to walk on the same, you know, lines as China and have a great India firewall. We need to be a little, I mean, I think those examples work very well. Let's look at what other countries in the world are doing. We already have like a lot of laws in place. If you look at the IT guidelines, and if you look at all of these new provisions that are coming in, right? They're also trying to control misinformation. They're also trying to regulate the internet. But you can't shut down the internet to regulate.
This, because you mentioned the Anuradha Basin case and, you know, what the Supreme Court had sort of established, maybe like a baseline, right, of constitutional acceptability for these kind of internet shutdowns. The judgment talked about the primacy of proportionality, about, you know, between, say, government powers that to ensure fundamental rights as well as security. And it also said that, you know, maybe it might be, it said that, okay, this internet shutdown is like a remedy and it may be, you know, necessary. How do we look at this now? I mean, because I know that a lot of people, experts have also called this judgment erroneous in itself. What is your take on this?
I think a better judgment to look at in this case would be a Fahima Shireen versus State of Kerala, which is basically about a girl's right to access internet, where the Kerala High Court ruled that a right to access of internet is a fundamental right. It's a human right, right? It's a better judgment to look at when we talk about how important access to internet is. Right? I also think that our free speech rights cannot be absent, not in an internet-enabled world. Right? Maybe if this was not an internet-enabled world, we could have said that to an extent free speech. I would have called myself a free speech absolutist, but not anymore. It's very real that, you know, free speech has to be balanced against security, because there are concerns. There's no doubt that there are concerns. We're not denying that WhatsApp lynchings don't happen. We're not denying that misinformation does cause a lot of things. But, you know, at least don't impose shutdowns to prevent cheating in exams. Right? Don't impose shutdowns because, you know, you think papers are going to be leaked. For example, in Rajasthan, I think it was during the REET exams, they shut down the internet for many days. And there was still a student who was caught cheating with a Bluetooth chappal. This will happen. Whatever you do, cheating is an eventuality that will happen. So don't do that. Have better laws, have better procedural safeguards in place. Right? Do we have SOPs, standard operating procedures? Are we giving people enough, are we telling them that they're shutting down the internet? Follow the proper procedures. Section 144 should not be used to impose internet shutdown. Nobody, according to the temporary suspension of telecom services rules, which is the legislation to shut down internet, what they say is nobody below the level of a joint secretary to the government of India can issue an internet shutdown. We've seen blanket orders. If you look at the SFLC versus Arunachal Pradesh, State of Arunachal Pradesh litigation, which is pending in the Supreme Court right now, one order has been challenged in which Rajasthan state government has given blanket power to, DMs, to issue, internet shutdowns. You can't do that. Shutting down an internet is a grave, grave thing. Right. Yeah. And I think Anuradha Basin is one of the first couple of judgments that had sort of done this thing on internet shutdowns. Right. It did put a lot of procedures in place. But again, I mean, I don't think that people really understand it. The issue is that if we actually really understand what internet shutdowns do, I don't think we would impose them. But this is the thing that maybe we don't understand what they do. We don't understand that, you know, especially, so I remember during the Kashmir thing, there are people who lost their scholarships. There are people, you know, whose parents died and they did not know. Right? Think of the great, I mean, the grief of all of that. If I can't do that, you're sort of, you're taking it away from me. You're limiting my agency. Right? Internet was supposed to be a great enabler. Right? And now that we've become to depend on it, we shouldn't just take it away randomly, wherever, however. We have to invest more time and resources to think about what the alternatives of all of this can be.
So I think you brought like two points in what we just spoke about. I think one is that internet is a fundamental right for us. And this is something that, you know, those of us who have access to internet, because I think we should also remind ourselves of the digital gap in India. The digital divide is also very vast. And in fact, in the last couple of years, thanks to smartphones and thanks to mobile data being cheap, we have managed to bridge that gap to some extent. So that is one positive side to it. And then on the flip side, you have this entire market economy that's growing because of the internet, right? You have, like, whether it's the coconut seller also taking UPI payments, or someone, you know, starting a business on Instagram, right? Or someone being able to apply for scholarship sitting in a remote part of Haryana or wherever. So there are all these, so many facets to our usage of internet. Now, in a situation when a conflict like the one, say, in Manipur has erupted, oftentimes the reason that's being given is, oh, well, it's communal. We are doing this to, again, you know, coming back to the law and order argument, we're doing this so that the communal or the ethnic, in this case, it was the ethnic violence, does not exacerbate. But nor has it's been 83, after 83 days, nor has it come down. So if, say, this internet shutdown is to be challenged in the court, do you think there should be a judicial review on stuff like this, on shutdowns like this?
It's already happened in Manipur High Court and Supreme Court both. Supreme Court said that they have to approach the Manipur High Court. But it's already happened, and Manipur High Court did, you know, sort of give some sort of relief. They did say that, you know, you should have safeguards in place and do it, right? Again, I would say that if we look at it from the point of view for judiciary, they have to really balance rights, right? Again, I think it just keeps, you know, it makes me come back to the same point that there is nothing on paper that can say that internet shutdowns are not effective, right? But if it's a rhetorical argument, if it's going on in the same intensity, you know, the government can come tomorrow and say that this could have been 100 times worse if there was no internet shutdown. And how will you rebut something like that? It's a thing that there has to be proper time spent to figure out if internet shutdowns are actually effective. I'll also tell you that no two shutdowns are the same. A shutdown in Delhi will hit very differently than a shutdown in Manipur, right? And most of these shutdowns are very hyperlocal, right? I don't like using the term hyperlocal because it sort of trivializes it. But shutdowns are hyperlocal to the extent that a small, you know, like a district will be impacted by a shutdown, right? And if it's in some remote corner of the world, of the country, and we have so many districts, how will you know? We track shutdowns, SFLT tracks the shutdown, and we have had so much trouble just tracking them. Because there is no, I mean, the only time that you can actually say that there's a shutdown if there's a news report, right? And there's so many local newspapers. National media doesn't carry. Now it started carrying news of shutdowns. We've been doing this since 2012. So it's very hard to figure out if there's a shutdown. There are no orders. The RTI applications get rejected. All of that. How do you even figure out in the first place if there's a shutdown? The problem is also that shutdowns are very they're very, like, the time period, Manipur is an exception, but they're 2 to 3 days long. So by the time you figure out a shutdown, by the time you approach the court, the shutdown has been lifted. And then the court will say that there's no need for an immediate relief. And has happened to us multiple times when we've tried to, you know, sort of challenge these shutdowns. So there is also this thing that it's very documenting them itself, and the government of India does not maintain a database at all. Right? It's very hard to even know how many shutdowns, where, for what durations has happened. During CA protests, there was a shutdown in many parts of the country at the same time. And take the example of a state like Kerala. They've never had a single shutdown. They also have the same issues, right, that we do. So if they can manage something like that, then why can't other states? Why are we not, you know, sort of trying to figure out alternatives to it? I don't think Himachal Pradesh also has had a single shutdown.
Even in that Supreme Court judgment that we were talking about, the Anuradha Basanmohan, it does talk about having safeguards in place, right? The default for the Indian state seems to be like almost like a policing tactic seems to be in scenarios like this to shut down the internet. So what are some of the reasons why these procedures are not being followed? Is it just lack of will, or does it involve more like, I don't know, almost like educating this police, or, you know, are there like actual technical challenges? You know, I'm trying to give the benefit of doubt here to the Indian state. So I'm just trying to understand, what are some of the reasons why they're unable to implement that?
Right. I'll tell you a couple of things, right? So apart from cheating in exams, internet shutdowns come very fast, right? So if there's a communal situation right now, the internet will be shut down in the next 2 hours. Right. So there's not enough time to sort of follow the procedure. I think that might want to be the reasons that, you know, if they want to give wide publicity to the order, it's hard for them to publish it before it comes. That's my assessment of it. So that might be one of the things why there are no wide publicity given to the orders. The second thing is, so there's a review committee that has to sit under the temporary suspension of telecom rules within 5 days of an internet shutdown. We don't have information about whether the review committee sits. Most of the RTIs that we file, we're told that, so they can't give us the minutes of the meeting and all of that. There, I would say there's ambiguity on when or how the review committee sits, if it sits at all. The review committee sort of supposed to look at, if an internet shutdown was justified, if it followed the due procedure and all of that, right? That's one thing that I think really needs to be looked into. Because, again, that should be the job of the review committee. Then we're following temporary suspension of telecom services rules after the Anuradha Basin judgment, which is a good thing, right? They're reviewing shutdowns order every 15 days, which is also a good thing. So there was an amendment in the temporary suspension rules that no shutdown order can last for more than 15 days. If you look at the different IT committee reports on shutdowns, they've asked, they've really tried to look into if shutdowns can happen and like what are the procedures, etc. So I wouldn't say that the procedure is not completely followed, but it could be better, and there could be like a sort of a better way to show it to the public that it's being followed. For example, you know, give us the orders, tell us, if review committees have happened, maybe put up minutes of the meeting, or at least put up some public document, right? One other thing is in respect to the designation of officers, right, who issue shutdown. If you don't have a copy of the order, you can never determine if it's the proper person who has issued the order or not. So according to the rules, the actual authority who can issue is the Home Secretary, right? Secretary to the to the state government or the central government. But it can be delegated till Joint Secretary, which then has to be ratified. Most of I mean, we're not able to actually figure out who ends up, you know, sort of issuing these orders, right? Now, there are 5-6 reasons also under which, you know, you sort of issue shutdowns. But the most, the one that's used the most is public safety, public emergency. So, public safety and public emergencies are the most widely used reasons to issue internet shutdowns, right? Public safety and public emergency can mean anything. They're not terms which are statutorily defined. There's one judgment called PUCL versus Union of India in which public safety and public emergency have been given some meaning, right? But again, they're still at the end of the day, they're not statutorily defined terms, and things can be justified as public safety, public emergency. And we see cheating in exams is sort of justified as well, right? So I think we need to have sort of better mechanisms to, govern internet shutdowns. Because from what we see, I don't think they're going to, you know, do away with it. I mean, they're going to go away anytime soon.
So you're saying that there is no like proper definition for what actually constitutes a public emergency or what is public safety? Like even cheating in exams can come under that.
Yeah. I think a great resource is just the petition that we had filed in SFLC versus Arunachal Pradesh. This talks about it in length, you know, about proportionality, about public safety and public emergency.
What do you think now this partial lifting up of the, you know, do you actually think this is lifting the internet shutdown in Manipur? Like, let me phrase it that way, Radhika. Do you actually think internet has been...
Not at all.
The ban has... Okay. Could you explain?
If 97% of people are still not able to access internet, and there are so many conditions which we don't even understand what they mean in the first place, then definitely not.
I think it is safe to say that internet shutdowns are causing more harm than good for our nation, especially in ethnic conflict and tense situations like we're witnessing in Manipur. Mishal Chaudhary, a technology lawyer, and Eben Moglen, a legal scholar, wrote recently in an opinion piece for the digital outlet The Print, and I quote, "Shutting down the internet prevents India and the world from seeing the harm caused by public disorder and crimes against humanity. It also stops people from both demanding and empowering the government action to protect its people. Shutdowns don't create the social and political will to safeguard our people, but rather it is a cloak for government to hide its shame." Thank you for listening to this episode of the Suno India Show. You can now download the Suno India app from App Store and Play Store. Thank you.